Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our sermon today, as we continue our journey through 1 Corinthians, it comes from chapter 15, specifically verses 3 and 4. I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, for you are our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Today's sermon is just the first of four sermons as we celebrate the, what we might call, paired festivals of Reformation Day, October 31st, and All Saints Day, November 1st. You see, when you look at the church calendar, you can see, in which you see laid out for you on page X, that's Roman numeral 10 in the front of the hymnal, there are two major festivals, Christmas and Easter, which don't come alone. In fact, when the church year was originally constructed, the church decided it wasn't enough to just celebrate Christ's resurrection. They wanted an opportunity of preparation for it, which they called Lent. And then after the party's over, what party's complete without an after party? In this case, 7 weeks, a week of Sundays, celebrating Christ's resurrection. And of course, Christmas receives the same treatment with a preparation time called Advent, an after party, if you will, of 12 days leading up to Epiphany, which is almost a second Christmas. So as we prepare for the 500th anniversary of the Reformation, which will be here just next week, we're also going to give it a bit of a longer celebration, which dovetails nicely with our sermon series on 1 Corinthians as the handbook for the church, as we will spend the next 4 weeks talking about the resurrection and its importance in the message of the church, not only thinking about the Reformation, but also about All Saints Day. Today, we are going to kick this off with the question of what is important to the church. Now, we all know that the resurrection is important to the church's message, but is it the only thing that is important to the church's message? Can other things also be important? C.S. Lewis, in his book Mere Christianity, and then also in the Screwtape Letters, describes the phenomenon of Christianity and patriotism, Christianity and pacifism, Christianity and the political party, Christian Republicans, Christian Democrats, perhaps, Christianity and social justice, or even Christianity and the pro-life movement. All of these are examples of Christianity pairing up with and connecting itself to specific movements. Now, these things are certainly important. Don't get me wrong there. Some of these are, in fact, even connected to the gospel. God certainly does rule over us in the civil realm, as we heard in our Old Testament and gospel readings. Jesus says, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, render to God the things that are God's. God himself tells Cyrus, the pagan Persian king, in Isaiah 45, that he, Cyrus, is the Lord's anointed, his Messiah, to use the Hebrew. A pagan king is the Messiah? Yes, because God chose him as ruler and set him up. God rules through him. And because God has set the rulers over us in the civil realm, he certainly commands us to honor and obey all those who are placed in authority over us, whether it be a good and godly king or whether it be another Caesar or another Cyrus. God certainly would not define all wars as being just, and the Bible condemns certain wartime practices. If you want an example, just look at 2 Samuel 21 and God's punishment against Israel for violating the terms of a centuries-old treaty. The Bible does have a lot to say about how we should help and serve our neighbors, especially those less privileged than ourselves. All of these things are or can be very important. But what happens when all of these other things get confused with the gospel? If Christianity becomes Christianity and pacifism, Christianity and patriotism, eventually all of these other things push the gospel away. Suddenly, instead of thanking God for the freedom we enjoy, we turn that thankfulness on its head and we give thanks to the country for giving us that freedom to worship as we choose. Instead of asking what the Bible would define as a just war, if there is such a thing, we ask what in the Bible can support our views on war and peace, reading into the text what we want to get out of it, rather than receiving from the text what God would tell us. And so this is where the big question is: which is more important to us and to the faith, the Bible or something else? The Bible or anything else? I remember a story on the news several years back, when I was still in seminary, of a charity in St. Louis that was supposed to be helping women who were struggling with breast cancer, helping give them financial support through this difficult time. And this charity probably started off with very good intentions. After all, anyone who has been through any sort of a cancer scare ever knows, it is kind of scary. And it's pretty expensive. And so they wanted to raise money to help people with breast cancer. And so I'm sure that hiring a professional fundraiser made a lot of sense to the people who were in charge. After all, more money would be coming in, and so more would go to fill the need. Unfortunately, that's where this charity's problem came in. The fundraiser, as we heard on the news, the professional fundraiser was receiving such a large cut of the proceeds that only about a quarter of the money they brought in actually went to the cause they were supposed to support. Something else had distracted this charity from its true purpose. And so do we allow that same thing to happen, to allow something else to distract us from the gospel? If we do, we really need to refocus on what's actually important, and that's what we need to do now. So then what is important? What is important to the church as we prepare to celebrate the 500th anniversary of the Reformation? On what do we stake our faith? I remember, ironically, while I was procrastinating from doing something, I found this thing called the procrastination matrix, which separates tasks between what's important and what's unimportant, what's urgent and what is not urgent. If you are procrastinating, it means you are doing the things that aren't important, that aren't urgent, and ignoring the things that are both important and urgent. So the only way to get back on track is to figure out what is important and then to do them. And so too for our faith, what is important? What are we being distracted from? Those are the things that we need to focus on. And fortunately, Paul lays that out right there for us in our text, starting in verse 3. I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received. This is what is important: that Christ died for our sins, If anyone tries to turn you away from Christ's death on the cross, they are trying to distract you from what is important. Christ died for our sins, meaning Christ also was born as a real flesh and blood human. He died as a real flesh and blood human, and to claim anything else is heresy. And his death paid everything that was owed for our sins. The debt that has been paid, the death has been paid to pay for us. Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures. In other words, he was doing exactly what he needed to do at exactly the right time, in exactly the right place. The price had to be paid, so Jesus paid the price. Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures. He was buried. This seems strange to throw in here every time we talk about Jesus' death, and yet his burial is also important. It shows that he was really dead. The soldiers did their job pretty thoroughly. And it was while his body lay in the tomb that he proclaimed his triumph in hell over sin, over death, over the devil. Christ died for our sins. He was buried. He was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures. Without this, without the resurrection from the dead, our faith is nothing. Jesus' resurrection is one of the two most important parts of the Christian faith, the other being his death and his life. Jesus' resurrection is at the heart of what it means to believe in him. Because he rose from the dead, we know that we also will rise from the dead. This question of what we stake our faith on will carry over into next week's sermon as we celebrate the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. But for right now, I want you to contemplate Jesus' birth and life, his death, burial, and resurrection. This is what is of first importance to our faith and to our church. It is of first importance to our life as well. We believe that Jesus Christ, true God and true man, born of the Virgin Mary, lived a pure and perfect life in thought, word, and deed, that he suffered, died, and was buried to make full payment for our sins, that he descended to declare his victory over sin, death, and the devil, that he rose again to give new life to us in him, that he ascended into heaven to intercede for us to our Heavenly Father, and that he will come again as judge and king to bring us into the fullness of his reign in the new heavens and new earth. This is at the heart of our faith, and this is at the heart of our life as we live as his people in the sinful world, awaiting the day of his return and living as citizens of his kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen.